in His name. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Well, why is it important for we as Christians to do things in His name? Well, for one, it documents that you're a Christian when you're praying to your Heavenly Father and gives you credentials as well. Secondly, if you need something for the body of Christ, something that will benefit the many-membered body of Christ, you have a promise from Jesus that all you have to do is ask in His name and you'll have it. Thirdly, probably the most important thing is there's power in His name. And that's power that we need. We're in a spiritual war, beloved. If you don't believe we're in a spiritual war, you haven't been watching what's going on in the world very well. And that's power that we need. Why? Because we're not going to war against flesh and blood. We war against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, of spiritually wickedness in even high places. I know you recognize that as Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You better have your gospel. Buckle up your chin straps, beloved. It's just getting started. And you better have that gospel armor on, and you better know how to use the power of His name. With that, let's go to John, the book of St. John, the Gospel, John chapter 14, as we ask that word of wisdom in Yeshua's precious name. Father, we ask You to open eyes, open ears this day. John chapter 14, verse 1, it reads, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in Me." Don't be anxious. There's no need to worry. "In My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you," as our intercessor at the right hand of Almighty God. Now, you all know this word mansions in the Greek is mone, and it means a tabernacle or a resting place. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," the words of Jesus, "I will come again and receive you unto Myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Let us abide together, is what He's saying. Now, when He says, "I come again," He came again on the 50th day, the Pentecost. And that's recorded in the events there in Acts chapter 2, where He left the Holy Spirit with the disciples and us, for that matter. There's another coming of him, and that will be at the second advent, the Lord's Day, when He returns as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I say, come, Jesus, come. "And if I go and prepare a place for you," we got that, let's go verse 4, "and whither I go, ye know, and the way you know." Jesus had spent a great deal of time preparing the disciples for what was going to happen. He even went so far as to show them on the body of the Mount of Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17, what was going to happen to Him as a flesh body. He prepared them over and over and over for what was going to happen. Thomas, that's old Didymus, Doubting Thomas, also known as, saith unto Him, "Lord, we know not whither Thou goest, and how can we know the way?" Do you know the way? I know you do. There's only one. That's Jesus Christ. Jesus saith unto them, "I am the way." I am remember what the Lord told Moses, that to call him when the people asked, I am that I am, Iya Asha Iya in the Hebrew tongue. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Only one way. Well, that leaves a lot of religions out of it, doesn't it, Pastor Murray? I mean, you've got Islam, you've got the Hindus, you've got Buddhist. What about those poor people? Well, the Lord's day, every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. That's the way. If ye had known me, Jesus continues, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. If you've seen the Father, if you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. John, the whole book of St. John introduces us to the fact that your Heavenly Father and his Son are one in the same. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, a virgin will conceive and you'll call his name Emmanuel, God with us. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. That'll be good. Just show us the Father. Now this had to hurt Jesus. Again, he had spent a great deal of time preparing them for what was going to happen. Also letting them know he was the Father. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? In John chapter 12, verse 45, Jesus said there, He that seeth me, seeth he that sent me. Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. This word dwelleth, a form of the word mone that we talked about, the house, the word mansions in verse 2. Meno, a form of that word, and it means to abide. And you can abide with your Heavenly Father, the Holy Spirit, and His Son right now. You don't have to wait until Jesus returns. Why? Because He left that Comforter with us, the Holy Spirit. You felt Him as He touches your heart. Believe me that I am, again, Iya Asha Iya, in the Hebrew, in the Father and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. How many times have you seen 5,000 fed with 5 loaves and 2 fishes before I came, Jesus speaking? You've seen me heal the sick. You've seen me cast out devils. You've seen me say, Lazarus, come forth, and raise the dead back to life. Believe me for those miracles' sake, is what Jesus said. You know, you didn't see those miracles as the disciples did, but you believe. That to me says you have a greater faith even than the disciples had, because they saw it. And many of them, they're showing iffiness in their faith. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father, again, as our intercessor. What does he mean, greater works than I was able to do? I think this ministry is a good example of that. At one point, Jesus got on a ship and shoved off the shore into a little bay. And there's a natural amphitheater there. And he preached to probably several hundred, if not several thousands, of people. Well, what has this ministry got to do with that? Well, we turned the equipment on and we broadcast to tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of people. Do they all listen? No, they don't. But it is there. The Word of God is there for them to hear if they choose to hear it. And we have our intercessor. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, the reason we came here, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Now, does this mean if we ask for a luxury car that he's going to give it to us? No, that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about if you need something to further the work, ask for it in my name and I will give it. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Pastor Arnold, early on, asked God. He said, Father, give me a platform where I can teach your word from. And Pastor Murray would be the first to tell you that if we will do the work, and he told us many times, the staff and volunteers at Shepherd's Chapel, if we will do the work, he will provide the bricks. And has he ever brought the truckloads of bricks to the doorsteps of Shepherd's Chapel? And I'm not bragging upon our ministry. I am so thankful for that platform that Arnold asked for and received. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, note the capital C. We're talking about the Holy Spirit, that he may abide, another form of that word, to tabernacle with, to abide with, to continue with you forever. Won't ever leave you, quite a promise. Even the Spirit, notice the capital S, of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. And I say again, come, Lord Jesus, come. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. He was about to be crucified. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. The greatest promise. Because he resurrected, we resurrect also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. Family, in the utmost sense of the word. The disciples departed from Jesus. They went out. And when they returned to him, they were amazed that even the devils were subject to them in his name. You know where we're going. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. Luke chapter 10. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Don't ever forget that condition, in thy name. If you ever try and take on Satan, and I know many of you, I've heard you at times say, boy, when Antichrist returns, I'm going to give it to him. No, you're not. That would be committing possibly the unforgivable sin. You're going to wait, just like you've been taught, until the Holy Spirit speaks through you. That's where the power is, beloved, in his name. not in my name, not in your name, not in Arnold Murray's name, in his name. And he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. What, you mean just right then Jesus saw Satan fall as lightning? No, this was prophecy. Prophecy of Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, when Michael boots Satan out of heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents, even that old serpent, the devil, and scorpions. Scorpions, what does that locust army of Revelation chapter 9 possess? Power of scorpions to hurt man. And over all the power, I mean all the power of the enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You're going to need that power because we fight not against flesh and blood. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Do we have anything to worry about? To even be anxious a little bit about? No. Nothing is going to hurt you. That's a promise from Jesus Christ. Notwithstanding, and this is but emphatically, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice in the fact that you're going to have power over all of your enemies, that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. All of the world is going to be deceived, with the exception of those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. I hope your name is there. I know most of your names are there. You must have faith to utilize that power. There was a man named Sceva and his seven sons that had a little bit of knowledge, but they didn't know how to use the power. Turn to Acts chapter 19, verse with me. Acts chapter 19, we're going to pick it up with verse 13. Just a few verses there. Then certain of the vagabond Jews, when the Lord sentenced Cain in Genesis chapter 4, what was one of the things that the Kenites were promised? That they would be forever vagabonds. Genesis chapter 4, verse 12. Exorcists. Now, this word exorcist, check it out in your Strong's. It means one that binds by oath or spell. It's someone who conjures. Conjure is someone like when Saul tried to conjure up the spirit of Samuel. And what did he do? He used that witch of Endor to conjure up the spirit of Samuel. It's wickedness, it's evil. Took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you. That means we command you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. What's lacking there, beloved? Faith on the part of these. Did they say, we command you in the name of Jesus Christ, who they preached? No. They said, whom Paul preacheth. We've seen Paul preach. We've seen Paul cast out demons in the name of Jesus Christ. It couldn't be all that hard. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew, and chief among the priests, which did so. They tried to cast out demons in the name of Jesus, you know, that one that Paul preaches. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? Uh-oh. and the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. That's what happens when you don't have the faith to use the power of in His name. Jesus also gave His disciples and us the power to heal in His name. Back up in Acts to chapter 3 with me as we continue our study. Let's pick it up with verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour, being about 3 p.m. in the afternoon. By the way, Peter and John appears in the book of Acts 7 times, spiritual perfection. John always in subordination to Peter. Why Peter founded the church. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, meaning from birth, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. This gate, Beautiful, probably the East Gate, historian named Josephus states that it was of Corinthian brass, and therefore it exceeded the other gates, which were not as fancy. Alms, a benefit, or a charity, if you will, something that would help or benefit someone. Who, seeing Peter, the man, the handicapped person, saw Peter and John about to go in to the temple and asked an alms, thinking he might receive a coin or something of that nature. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look upon us." You can see the Holy Spirit at work. And he gave heed, he paid attention unto them, expecting to receive something of them. The lame man has no idea of how much or what he is about to receive. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Of Nazareth also appears 7 times in the book of Acts. "But in the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And he took him by the hand, the right hand, and lifted him up. And immediately also appears 7 times in the book of Acts, spiritual perfection in biblical numerics. His feet and ankle bones received strength, a miracle performed and witnessed by many. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. The handicapped man certainly knew who had healed him. The others weren't so sure, the ones who had witnessed this themselves. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. They knew he had been crippled since birth. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. How did Paul have the power to do this? It wasn't Paul's power, and Paul would have been the first to tell you. In fact, he's about to tell us, it's not my power. It's the power of his name. And as the lame man which was healed held or retained or detained Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. the porch would be as far as the Gentiles would be allowed to go. The Gentiles at this time weren't allowed to enter the tabernacle. That would change with the crucifixion. It was opened up even to the Gentiles. But they were all amazed at what they had seen. They knew this man, 40 years, had been handicapped. What were John and Peter going to do next is what they're thinking. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, "Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly upon us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk?" Always give credit where credit is due. Peter is doing that. "The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, have glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." Pilate washed his hands. He said, "This man is innocent. I find no fault with this man. Let him go. But you insisted on delivering him up. You insisted on crucifying him." Many of you are going to be delivered up as well. Don't forget to take the power with you. "But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you." Pontius gave him the choice. Historically, a man who had murdered 400 people, Barabbas or Jesus. They asked for Barabbas to be freed and Jesus crucified. "And killed the Prince of Life." This word prince is kages in the Greek. It means the author of life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. "And his name through faith in his name." You got to have faith in his name if you want to use the power of his name. "Hath made this man strong," the crippled man healed, "whom ye see and know, yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." His faith healed this man. Skip with me to chapter 4, verse 1, as we continue. "And as they spake," Peter and apostle, and the other apostles, "spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them." Now, the Sadducees was the sect, a sect of the Sanhedrin. And they did not believe in life after death. They believed that you better get it while you're in the flesh, because that's all there is, nothing else. You can understand how they might have a problem with the teachings of those who were preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ. "Being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in a hole," this is prison, "unto the next day, for it was now evening tide. Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. The church was growing mightily. "And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas is the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest, and Caiaphas, and John, and Alexander, all members of the Sanhedrin, and as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." Now, of course, the high priest was supposed to be of the Levites, Levitical by birth. These are all men appointed by the Roman soldiers. And when they had set them up in the midst, the apostles and Peter, they asked, "By what power or by what name have ye done this?" What are your, you know, you didn't go to our university. Where did you learn this? Where this power that you have, obviously, we saw it. A lot of the people saw that you healed this crippled man. Where is this power from? What are your credentials? Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, saith unto them, "Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole." Is that why you have us here? That you want to know how we made the impotent man, the crippled man, how he was healed? "Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead," Jesus resurrected after 3 days, "even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. This is the stone which was set at naught." This is the stone that the builders rejected. Psalm 118, verse 22, Isaiah 28, 16, "which has become the head of the corner," Jesus Christ, the head cornerstone. "Neither is there salvation in any other," the only way. "And there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved," the only way, Jesus Christ. "Now when they saw the boldness," the Holy Spirit gives you the right to be bold as well. When you're walking with God, you can walk with a swagger, beloved. You don't have to take second back seat to anyone when you're doing things His way and the Holy Spirit is with you. "They saw the boldness of Peter and John." They're not afraid of us. "And perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." You know, a lot of people think that about us as well. You know, you didn't go to our university. Where did you learn how to preach like you preach? Jesus Christ, in His name. "They marveled and they took knowledge of them, and they had that they had been with Jesus." And you know what? I would a whole lot rather have the knowledge of God through His Word and teachers that have taught me over the years than I would the knowledge of the world and the traditions of men. The traditions of men have a tendency to get things all, how do I want to say this? I got to choose my words carefully, messed up. That's what the traditions of men do. They make the word, the world, let's say, things messed up. "And beholding the man which was healed, standing with them, they could say nothing against him." They couldn't discredit what had just happened. There were too many people that were witness. They saw what happened, that the man got up and walked after 40 years of being an invalid. "But when they had commanded them to go outside, out of the council, they conferred among themselves." They wanted secrecy to talk among them. How are we going to handle this? This is not, we're not looking too good here, you know. We're worried about the attendance at the church going down because they got 5,000 more going over to the other side. This is hurting us in the pocketbook. What are we going to do? "Saying, what shall we do to these men, that they indeed be for that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest. It's well known to all them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You can't refute a miracle. You can't deny it. But that it, referring to their religion, Christianity, spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. We're going to go out there and we're going to tell them, never again are you going to teach in this name, the name Jesus Christ. And they called them, Peter and the others, and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. Don't ever go against God's will. If you have a calling from God to teach His word in the name of Jesus Christ, and a man tells you, don't do that, who are you going to listen to? You're going to listen to God, not man. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge you. You be the judge, but we think it's more important that we honor God, not man. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't help but teach the truth. We saw these things. We saw these miracles. We've been given the power in His name to heal. We know that. And when they had further threatened them, chapter 5, verse 40, they did more than further threaten them. They beat them and then sent them forth and said, don't teach in this name. Don't speak in the name Jesus Christ anymore. They let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them. Because of the people, there were too many, and the multitude saw it, wouldn't stand for any nonsense. For all men glorified God for that which was done. They saw the miracle. They witnessed it themselves. For the man was above 40 years old, on whom this miracle of healing was showed. Peter and John and the other apostles didn't listen when the Sadducees and the other high priests appointed by the Romans told them, don't teach in this name anymore. And you know what? We won't stop if someone tells us that, because the last instructions Jesus gave the disciples was go forth and preach, teach salvation, resurrection, the remittance of sin in my name. In closing, turn with me to Luke chapter 24. Back to the Gospels, Luke 24, 36. Chapter 24, the first part of this chapter, you might recall there were two of the disciples that after the crucifixion, they were making their way to a little town called Emmaus, which stands for, is means warm or hot springs. They were going to take a hot bath, and Jesus made it to where they couldn't recognize Him, and He walked up along beside of them. Jesus asked them, What's going on? Where are you guys going? They said, where have you been? Don't you know that they crucified Jesus? And of course, He knew He was there on the cross. But you might take a home assignment before in chapter 24, one of the greatest lessons of all time about Jesus in the Old Testament. We're not coming there for that. We're going to verse 36, Luke 24, in conclusion. And it reads, and as they thus spake, Jesus Himself stood in the midst of them and said unto them, Peace be unto you. The crucifixion has occurred. The disciples have gathered, and we learn in another of the Gospels that the doors were shut. Jesus appeared to them through the walls. The door wasn't open. He didn't walk through the door. He appeared to them in the transfigured body that he took on. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. You know, oftentimes I take the liberty when I'm reading scripture to you and it says Holy Ghost, I take the liberty of changing that to Holy Spirit. You see, the Spirit of God is not a ghost, something that you should be afraid of. Verse 38, and he said unto them, Why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts, or in your mind, probably better translated? Why are you so frightened? He, as like I said earlier in this lesson, he spent a great deal of time preparing them for what was going to happen. Even the Mount of Transfiguration, this body that he's appearing in now, he showed it to them so that they wouldn't be upset. It's not a spiritual body. It's a transitioned body. His flesh was not to see corruption. Acts chapter 2 will document that. Jesus continues, Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit, a ghost, hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. That transfigured body. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. He said, Look, this is where they drove the spikes through my hands. This is where they drove the nails through my feet. Doubting Thomas would insist on seeing those and putting his finger in them before he would believe. Verse 41, And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? That should have put them to rest. A spiritual body needs food, such as the angels' food we find in the book of Psalms. But he's hungry. He wants something to eat. He's in a flesh body. And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. The fish, that cipher, Jesus Christ, Son of God, Savior. The fish, ichthy in the Greek language. Honeycomb, the food of the prophets. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all these things must be fulfilled. Do you remember? We talked about all these things, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Chapter 5, verse 17 of the first gospel, Matthew. Jesus said, I didn't change to come one jot or tittle of the law, but to fulfill the law. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. As he opened your understanding, that you might understand the scriptures, beloved. You know, that's what we always pray before we start a broadcast, before we start a lesson. Father, open eyes, open ears this day. Open understanding. What a blessing. And said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer. This is why the cross happened, and to rise from the dead the third day. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. We learn the reason he came to earth in the flesh It was to destroy he who has the power of death, that is to say, the devil. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. We preach repentance and remission of sin in his name. And if some man comes along and says, "You're offending me, don't do that, stop that," we're not going to do it. We're going to continue. And you know what? There are going to be very few, beloved. Look around you. You're going to see a lot of them right here in this church on that day when we're delivered up. Because there aren't very many, beloved. There aren't many that are taught. Teach the repentance and remission of sins in his name. And ye are witnesses of these things. There you have it. Let everything you do, whether in word or deed, be in the name of Jesus Christ. It's that important, beloved. Let's go to his throne. Yahweh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Father, for coming to earth. Father, we thank you for that offering of remittance of sin, of forgiveness, Father, if we indeed come to you repentant and ask for that. You have a group here, Father, that seeks that forgiveness today, Father. As a group, we ask, Father, touch that everything we do. Those who need a healing, we ask for a healing, Father. Those who need comforting, we ask for that comforter that you gave us, Father. And all these we ask in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
The Mark of the Beast on CD is our free introductory offer to you. What is the Mark of the Beast? Many false teachers would have you believe it will be a tattoo on your forehead or a computer chip implanted under your skin. It is getting late in the game. You need to know what the Mark of the Beast is. As it's written in Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, many will be deceived. There is no need for you to be deceived. Christ said in Mark 13, 23, "Behold, I have foretold you all things." Jesus indeed told us how not to be deceived, and Pastor Arnold Murray takes you on a step-by-step study of God's Word concerning this critical subject, the Mark of the Beast. The telephone call is free. The CD is free. We don't even ask for the shipping and handling. It is free as well. All you need to do is call 800-643-4645 to request your one-time, one-per-household copy of The Mark of the Beast. You may also request your free CD by mailing your request to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Don't be deceived by Satan.
They're prescribed to you by a doctor. Might be careful. I would guess when you were involved in an accident, some of what you're taking is probably pain medication. You want to be real careful. A lot of that stuff is very addictive. Janie in Texas, "I've heard you teach to be prepared 5 months ahead when the Antichrist comes. Would it be prudent to pay your bills 5 months ahead, your utilities and health care?" Yes, it would if you have that type of resources available. But if you don't have that kind of resources, don't worry about it. God will provide. If you are helping God accomplish his will, you best believe he's going to help you have what you need to accomplish his will. That only makes sense. And he can provide anything. He can provide water out of a rock. He can provide manna from heaven. He's done it before. He can do it again. We also recommend here at the chapel that you have, if you are one of God's elect, that you have some precious metals set aside so that you can barter, you can trade. You see, that's the whole point that we learn in the book of Revelation, that if you don't worship the Antichrist, you're not going to be able to buy and sell. Why? Because they're going to have their own currency, and you have to worship him to obtain the currency. Don't worship the Antichrist if you're one of God's elect. have some precious metals to where you can trade for a loaf of bread or whatever you need. Richard in Missouri, is there anything in the Bible that says that Jesus blessed the hogs so people can eat them? No, that's false. There are places in the New Testament that people try to twist to make it to where they're now clean, but Leviticus chapter 11 verse 6 states that swine, which is pork, is unclean. They were unclean in Old Testament times. They're still unclean today. Again, some would say 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 4 states that every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if received with thanksgiving. Well, and they overlook verse 3, though, which states, don't let anyone judge you in meats which God hath created to be received. Leviticus chapter 11, verse 6 tells us God did not create pork to be received. Betty Sue from Georgia, please help me understand two terms in Matthew chapter 25, verses 41 and 46. The terms they use are everlasting punishment and everlasting fire. Is this where people believe you can burn in hell forever and ever? Well, those who go into the lake of fire are turned to ashes forever and ever. They go up in smoke forever and ever. There is no place that has people that are burning continuously. You know, that doesn't sound like heaven to me. We learn in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3, 4, and 5 that there are no more pain. There's no more sorrow when we get to the eternity. And God wipes away the tears from all of his children. And do you think it would be a real happy place if you looked over here and there was a fire burning continuously and half of your relatives were in that fire? No, I don't think that'd be very pleasant at all. But we have no remembrance of former things. It also states there in Revelation chapter 21, verses 3, 4, and 5. Ed in Tennessee, I am writing this letter about having contact with others in church. We really have a good pastor. He is a good teacher of the word. Well, you're fortunate. Doing the greeting, during the greeting, everyone walks around shaking hands or hugging each other. The problem I have is I notice my wife is getting a little too loose with the hugs. I spoke with her about her behavior, which was to stop hugging every person in church, visitors, men and women, some church members. She stated it is a God thing. I disagree. Thank you for an answer. Well, in the book of Genesis, we learn that when a man leaves his mother and father's home and takes a wife, they become one flesh. One flesh should not do anything to offend itself. And if you are offended by your wife's hugs, she should respect your wishes and be gentle and explain to her why it offends you and ask her, you know, well, honey, maybe rather than a full frontal hug, can we do a sideways hug? You know what I'm talking about. So, but pray about it, but be gentle when you're explaining to her, and you're going to do a lot better if you're gentle. Ron in Arizona, I have a friend that believes in the rapture. What scriptures can I give him? Well, I don't have time here in this 30 seconds to answer your question. to give you all the scripture. I would suggest you order a 3-CD set entitled The Rapture Theory. That's our CD set 30456, and it will give you not only scripture opposing the rapture theory, but scripture that the rapture theory folks use to support their theory, and explains it in detail where you understand the rapture is false. Betty in Alabama, I'm not a good driver, so I was wanting to know if it's a sin for me not going to a local church. I do watch Shepherd's Chapel all the time. Well, Matthew chapter 18, verse 20, whenever two or more are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. We are gathered in his name right now, and you're welcome to study with us. Dixie in North Carolina, Abraham and Hagar's son, was he a Mamzer? Yes, Abraham was Adamic, Hagar was Egyptian, and that was a mixed race. We talked about that a little bit today in our lecture about Abimelech, but I am out of time. I love you a great deal. Why? Because you enjoy studying God's Word. You make a little time each day to set aside to spend with your Heavenly Father, reading the letter that He has written to you, the Bible. It makes His day when you make His day, and the blessings are always going to follow. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, help us keep coming to you and to reach out to others who are lost in this world of darkness. There's one thing that's most important, though, beloved, and it's this. You stay in His Word every day, and your Father's Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? It's because Jesus, Yeshua, our Messiah, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Dennis Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast CD, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a CD catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645, 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, P.O. Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at the same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.